Wait a minute.
So now she's just leaving Candy as her calling card?
In his pockets?
Yeah. Hello, welcome to Guides the Unknown. I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
And this week we are blasting our way through the seas on the Wikipedia entry for urban legends.
Sailing the high seas.
Yep.
The goal is to one day be able to say we've covered every single urban legend known to man. Mm-hmm. We have already covered a bunch. That's how we got to the C section of Wikipedia. So we're going to get some good variety here of urban legends, I believe. But before we dive in and start talking about all of these bizarre topics, of course I need to say to the audience, how dare you have forgotten Kristen's birthday yesterday?
Look, guys, I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. Did I cry a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah, Kristen can't stand her birthday.
Oh, I hate it when people pay attention to me and say nice things about me.
Happy, happy, happy birthday to my big sister, Chrissy.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too.
And I'm thrilled to be continuing this show with you.
I am too. Thank you very much. I turned the big 4-0. Mm-hmm. I'm a 40-year-old girl now, everybody. Watch out, because she's grown.
Oh, can you wait another 10 years before you can do that? I'm 50. Ooh. 50 years old.
I don't know if I can.
Set an alert.
Yeah. I don't think I have to. It's in there.
You're 50.
You know what I was thinking about today? I don't remember her name or anything. That character that Sherry O'Terry would do, who was a neighbor, and she'd be like, this is mine now.
Yep.
This is mine now.
Yes, yes, yes. That was the snowblower sketch with Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. So you can do that too, I guess, if you want to.
Yeah.
Is that your point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, happy birthday, Chrissy.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much to all of you for hanging out with me for these last 6 years.
Yeah.
You've seen me from 34 to 40. What a long, strange trip it's been.
Really? That is a long time when you think about it that way.
Yeah,
that is a very long time.
Yeah. I love knowing y'all.
And our everybody who listens to the show has been incredibly supportive, but I am telling you right now that anybody who posted happy birthday, I'm going to delete it before you see
William,
it.
William, you better not. You better not.
You're going to have a quiet day.
I am considering putting social media back on my phone in general, and perhaps today, tomorrow's the day to do it.
Oh, I wonder why you'd pick that day of all days.
Because I can't. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Whatever. Happy birthday, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Now let's get into it. Let's talk about scary stuff.
All right. What about the Chon-Chon?
Oh, what about the Chon-Chon? Whoa. Hey, what's the Chon-Chon?
Okay. Do you know anything about the Chon-Chon?
I have zero idea.
Okay. I had no idea either. This is some wild stuff. So this is it's like kind of an urban legend. It's one of those things where it's like, whatever.
I'll give my typical spiel. I think I say this on every single urban legend episode. Mm-hmm. Not to gatekeep, but there is like a reason for the term urban legend.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff on Wikipedia is not a classical urban legend. An urban legend is a story passed around as if it is true. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, they all center around some aspect of modern life, which is where the urban comes from. It has nothing to do with urban settings. It was about establishing that this is not like old world folklore about, you know, rolling hills and fairies.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be about people with hook hands attacking you on Lover's Lane.
Right.
There's a purpose to that name.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously in the modern day, anything that sounds outlandish.
Like, it's just, like, not really real.
Yeah, not really real. We call it an urban legend. We all just agree that it's a fake thing that's generally kind of spooky.
Yeah, exactly. So this, the Chon-Chon, falls squarely into that category.
Into the not a classic urban legend?
No, it's not. It's just a spooky thing.
Great. That's... I'm thrilled with a spooky thing.
Oh, me too. Yeah, it's just always kind of weird when they show up during this, but I'll take it.
I'll take whatever. Again, I love this because we're at the mercy of whatever somebody put on Wikipedia.
Right.
Someday, what I plan to do, I should also say this, because this is going to take a long time to finish these urban legends.
Oh,
that's why we do it so sparingly.
We'll be doing it on my 60th birthday.
Exactly. My hope is that we'll finish that list, and then I'll turn to the Jan Harald Brundtland books.
Yeah.
He's one of the people who originated the studying of urban legends way back when, in like the 60s. 70s. And I'll look at the ones that he defined that we didn't already cover.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I look forward to that in 20 to 25 years.
Yeah, we'll definitely still be doing it and definitely still be alive and definitely.
All of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Chon-Chon is from Mapuche, Chilean, and Argentinian mythology. It is basically an awesome head with wings on it.
Hell yeah.
Some listings have called that I found, like when I was researching, called it a mythical bird. But that ain't like no bird I've seen.
It's a strange bird.
That's not just a mythical bird. This is a head that can fly.
Like a human head?
Yes.
Oh, so like a bird watcher would not be like, well, look at this curious bird. They would be screaming. They'd be screaming and running for the hills.
Absolutely. Preppers would be diving for their underground bunkers.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So Mapuche sorcerers, known as Kalku, can turn into the Chan Chan, but only the most powerful ones among them. And it's kind of like elective surgery or something, like getting plastic surgery. They are anointed with a magical cream on the throat that allows their head to detach from their body, becoming the Chan Chan.
Oh my God.
I know. The head grows feathers and talons, and the ears become huge so that they can be used as wings. And the painting that I saw basically looked like, I didn't realize that those were ears. I thought this, like, you sprout wings.
Yeah.
They basically just look like pale-ass bat wings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
skin bat wings?
Yes. So you're flying around like that. This is a shorty, by the way.
Are they, when you say talons, is it like bird feet coming out of the bottom of the head?
I have to tell you, that was not depicted in the, there was a particular painting that kept coming up that must be an older one or something.
Yeah.
I didn't see the talons, nor did I see feathers. Huh. Perhaps the feathers are kind of like the hair. I'm not really sure what's going on with those.
Okay.
So why would the Kalku want to do this? It is because it allows them to carry out evil deeds undetected. For these are dark sorcerers, I guess.
It sounds pretty conspicuous.
No, it's not, because now they are invisible to all except other sorcerers. So they can be doing evil on just regular humans.
That's
left and right.
Sounds like somebody got his head cut off and they were like, you know, he's still out there. You just can't see him.
He's a Chan Chan now.
He's a Chan Chan.
They still have all of their powers that they had as Kalku. So they're still like sorcerers without bodies, which doesn't seem, that seems like the worst way to be a sorcerer.
Yeah.
Like, I know that you can fly now and that's cool, but I don't know. I mean, I guess they're able to just like do their spells and everything sans hands, but it just seems very limiting.
Would you rather have your whole body or just have your head?
My whole body.
Yeah. That's how I feel too.
Yeah. See, siblings. even though you could fly, yeah. I want my whole body.
I want my whole body.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking about eating and stuff.
I know. You got to like eat with your ears. You got to like scoop food into your mouth with your ears.
Yeah, right. Ew, that is what you would have to do. Or somebody just puts it on a plate and you just kind of like inch over to it. And then where does the poop go?
Ask somebody to hold out a sandwich.
Yeah.
So you can just fly around it, nibbling it with little bites.
Nah, it's not for me. Even though people can't see them, except for other sorcerers, they do emit the cry, "Tui, tui, tui," during flight. They sound so weird. If this thing was coming by me, like screaming "tui," and it's just a head with gigantic ears that are like bat wings,
This is sounding more and more like someone just saw a weird bird. Why is it, if it's still you.
The depictions are just like my face, my head with bat wings coming out of it.
Of course the depictions are, but no one's captured a Chan Chan.
True, in the wild.
In the wild. If it's flying around making a bird sound, what's making the sorcerer have to sound, say, tui, tui, tui?
I'm assuming it's tui. It's T-U-E.
T-U-E.
Or else
tweet. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
But like my point
tweet
is.
Tweet is awfully close to tweet.
What? You're
tweet,
right.
Tweet, tweet,
tweet. Tweet, tweet,
like a bird.
That should be the new mascot for Twitter. Bring it back to Twitter and the Chan Chan is the mascot.
Yeah. It's Elon Musk's disgusting head.
Yeah, exactly. But why can't they just fly and then say their spells or just be like, don't say anything. You have to fly and you have to say that word.
I don't know.
Is that the spell to fly? Tweet, tweet, tweet.
I didn't come across it. Just that
I don't know why that's the most outlandish part to me, but it's very strange to me that they have to say this one thing. That's very strange.
I guess maybe it's not that they have to. I don't know. Because I was about to say, maybe they don't have to say it. It's like saying a dog has to say bark, bark. Do they have to? No, that's just what they say.
Yeah.
But no, if they have. I mean, there was nothing that I saw that said they can't speak. So.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. There is a. I think I made you read these or I gave them to you or something. The Alan Moore Swamp Things.
Yes.
which is like a legendary run of the character Swamp Thing by a legendary writer, Alan Moore.
Yeah.
And one thing that like stood out to me as just being so bizarrely inventive in it is that I feel like there's like a massacre in it, a bunch of like punks. It's like the 80s. So it's like, it's like Return of the Living Dead, you know,
like
SLC
punks, not you're just calling
punks
bad people.
Yeah, I'm not being
like a grandpa.
Yeah, I'm not being a grandpa talking about youth. I'm talking about people who have mohawks.
Right.
A punk gets their head cut off, and then her head rolls over and sprouts wings and bird feet and flies away to give a warning to somebody or something.
Chon-Chon-esque.
Maybe that was inspired by the Chon-Chon.
Could be.
There's a lot of like arcane. I think the villain's name is Arcane, but there's like a lot of like crazy magic in the Swamp Thing.
I remember
book.
That was very cool.
Like, trippy and dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked Swamp Thing. So normies can hear this. They are aware that something is going twee, twee, twee around them, even though they can't see the Chon-Chon. And that twee cry is known as a terrible omen, predicting the death of a loved one.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to freak right out when you hear that. They also have this weird new bonus power that I don't see as like new or a bonus, of being able to drink the blood of sleeping or sick people, which actually we all have the power to do. We just don't do that usually.
Yep.
So that's not like they couldn't have done that before.
True.
We that's can a all good point. Do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I found a couple of references about Chon-Chon or Chon-Chon-esque things through one of my sources. I think it was like it was a wiki or something. It's in the show notes. But this is a direct quote. The Cinchona appears in the game Sandcastle Symphony of the Night and Terrence as a common enemy.
What did you just say to me? What's the game?
Sandcastle Symphony of the Night.
This is a crazy thing to say to me.
Why?
You that's not
Did what, you just play that?
No, I know exactly what that game is. It's not called Sandcastle.
Oh, I copied and pasted it.
You got some sort of an autocorrect issue. That is like a legendary game.
What's it actually?
Castlevania, which is not a word. So I can understand autocorrect catching
it. No, I'm telling you. Well, it didn't catch it on their end. It was on the website.
Sandcastle Symphony of the Night?
I'm 100% positive.
What's your source?
I don't remember. It's in the show notes. I sent it to you. It was some wiki.
No, they blew it.
They did blow it. No,
Sandcastle Symphony. Maybe I never heard of it before.
No, I bet you're right. I bet it is an autocorrect. That's really funny. Well, then it's in Castlevania. And then who knows if this is even a game? Terrence. Is that a game you
know? Yeah, that could be it. That could be anything from like Halo to, I don't know. What the hell's Terrence?
Who knows? And it's, that's weird. It says Sandcastle Symphony of the Night twice.
Really?
Yes. Could that be what it's called in like another country or something?
Castlevania Symphony of the Night is an incredibly famous game. Sandcastle Symphony. I can't believe I'm Googling this of the night. And it auto, and then Google basically goes like, did you mean Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
Weird.
Because of course there's no sandcastle.
Because also it says in the original English translation of Sandcastle Symphony of the Night, it is known as the butterfly.
Huh. Okay.
I don't know. Weird. In addition, the massively multiplayer online role-playing game Ragnarok Online contains an enemy which is named Honcho, but in no way resembles the mythological creature. Instead, it is in the form of a large fly. So could that have nothing to do with the Chon-Chon?
It could just be,
Why is that even in there?
This story seems to be crap.
Perhaps. So that's it. That's the Chon-Chon.
That's the Chon-Chon?
Yeah.
I like the sound of the Chon-Chon.
I do too.
Because that's a kind of magic that's so off kilter to what I'm used to.
Yes.
I like that kind
of thing. Yes, sorcerers who are putting a cream on their throats in order to detach their heads from their bodies.
Like that's awesome.
We don't come across it a whole lot.
No.
So that was from monsters.fandom.com. /wiki/Chon-Chon.
Okay. All right. Well, they blew it with Sandcastle Symphony of the Night.
I suppose so.
That's bizarre to me. All right. I'm going to tell you about a classic type of tale.
Great.
All right. This is also, I guess, maybe this dances with a classical urban legend.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm going to tell you the story of Eunice Cole, a.k.a., also known as Goody Cole.
Ah, I love a goody.
I love a goody.
Yeah.
Goody appears to just be
shorthand. Like Mrs.
Yeah, Mrs.
Goody Anderson. Why don't people call me Goody Anderson?
I know. You don't hear it much anymore.
I should change all of my handles online to Goody Anderson.
Goody Anderson? I like it. Yeah.
Maybe that's how I'll re-debut myself to the social media world.
Yes. Welcome back, Kristen. I mean, Goody
Anderson. I kind of want to.
Sure. Do
maybe,
it.
Maybe I will.
You have to get a bonnet. I saw
fine,
there
easy.
Are like drawings of Goody Cole, and she mm-hmm. looks like any drawing of Ellie Kedward I yeah. ever saw in like my Blair Witch research. She lived from 1590 mm-hmm. to 1680.
Oh.
She lived to be 90 years old in the 1600s.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound impossible?
Yes. She must have been from hardy stock.
I suppose so. She is, the headline about Goody Cole is she's the only woman convicted of witchcraft in all of New Hampshire.
Hmm.
Now, I checked. So she lived to 1680. And I didn't know when the Salem witch trials were.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking she's accused of witchcraft and stuff. She gets sent to jail for being a witch.
Were the witch trials in like 1500s?
No.
No.
The Salem witch trials began in 1692. Mm. So Goody Cole died a good 12 years before the Salem witch trials.
Wow.
Isn't that so weird?
Yeah.
So I tried to figure it out. What are her witch crimes?
Right.
What are you getting sent to jail for being a witch? The first time that she was accused was 1656.
It's for like giving somebody tea when they have cramps.
Yeah, it's all stuff like that. Yeah. Or just like loose connections. There's yeah. one thing later where they're like, a couple of calves died.
Yeah.
On a neighboring farm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Doesn't that probably happen all the time?
I would think.
And they described her as being like generally unpleasant. It's like, yeah, you keep calling her a witch.
Yeah.
And you're going to be...
You're blaming cows dying on her. She might get a little prickly.
Did you know that creepy old witch, Goody Cole, is being rude? Like, yeah, what do you
Look,
think?
I'm no better than them because I accused our neighbor of being a witch.
You did.
When I was a kid because she was mean.
Yeah, you're on the wrong side of history.
I know. All over the place today.
Mrs. Castle. Yeah, Kristen is...
We recorded our coming Netherworld Dispatch episode, and I admitted that I like the Squid Game reality show, even though it is ethically not great.
Canceled.
I know.
On your birthday.
Stamp.
No doubt. Yeah, you're toast. You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kristen famously accused our next door neighbor, Mrs. Castle, of being a witch. She was our rude next door neighbor who one time threatened to sue us because she said our dog pooped on her lawn. And then I guess some sort of a poop expert came out and discovered that it was deer poop.
Right. And so I...
Which you think most people could tell the difference.
I know.
Deer have very distinct...
Oh, stool, I would say one of the most
stool
distinct...
Stool patterns.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that
we,
shape?
We
William, unmistakable.
Kristen was just miming picking one up and squeezing it to test it. Yeah, that is a crazy thing to do. But so Kristen had a test as a child. You
want
to tell
sort
people
of
your
witch test? Yeah. Sure. We had this like really big flat rock that was just like in the ground basically, mm-hmm. and I put my troll doll standing upright there facing Mrs. Castle's house, and I said, if I wake up in the morning and this troll doll has fallen, then it means she's a witch.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it fell.
Yeah, because she was a witch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just confirmed it.
I really don't remember any aftermath. I think I saw it and I was like, oh no.
Oh my God. Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
I know.
It was like Disturbia. Krista was like peeking out her window at Mrs. Castle at all hours of the day while Mrs. Castle's inspecting her lawn for feces.
I know.
Crawling around with a comb and a magnifying
tweezers.
Glass. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So if it were the 1500s or whatever, 1600s, Kristen would be trying to throw Goody Castle in jail.
I would be.
So at best, it turns out that she and her husband followed the work of a particular reverend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they like followed everything he preached, but this seemed to have been a big deal at the time. They followed a Reverend John Wheelwright, who was known for preaching antinomianism.
Hmm. What does that mean?
Ever heard of that?
No.
Neither had I. Antinomians believe that faith alone guarantees eternal security in heaven, regardless of your actions. You don't even have to follow the Ten Commandments.
So
Nomianism. If you just believe in God,
yeah,
you're in. That's
so Nomianism then is believing that your actions have to be good in order to get to heaven, and they are anti that?
Presumably. So you can act however you want, but as long as you believe in God,
yeah,
you're in, baby. And so it's been criticized as antinomianism as being essentially a license to sin.
You can do as you please.
So that set her on the outs.
Yeah.
For some people. So she goes to jail in 1656 and she's locked up for a solid 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she's out in 1660. She gets 2 good years on the outside. And then some sort of witchy behavior got her in more trouble. She's placed in jail a second time from 1662 to 1670.
Leave her alone, haters.
Meaning that she's not released from jail until she's 80 years old.
Oh my God.
She spends the bulk of her 70s in jail for being a witch. So she's
Good
released.
Lord.
She's finally released in 1670, and she gets to suck free air for at least a good 10 years.
I hope she found a way to enjoy herself in there somehow.
God, I hope. It's the 1600s.
Some people really find community.
What's she doing? She can't fire up, you know, Tony Hawk.
I know.
She can't play nothing. Unless she can use her witch powers to get
she
a PlayStation
played, like,
from,
sticks.
From the future. Yeah. Future GameCube. In 1680, when she's 90 years old, she's accused of being a witch a third time. She supposedly used her quote-unquote sorcery to kill 2 calves, and this is what I was talking about before, and quote, was believed to have raised a cyclone that sent a party of merrymakers to the bottom of the sea.
Oh, well, I would do that. If I'm trying to get my sleep and people are making merry too close to me.
Supposedly they,
get them out.
They insulted her that morning.
Oh, that too.
Those merrymakers.
If you give me a hard time and then I can't hear my shows over your merrymaking.
You summon a cyclone
yes.
to send them to the sea bottom?
Yes, I do.
She was thrown into jail with a chain on her leg. Reminder, 90-year-old woman.
What the hell?
Which in today's age, she's like 300 years old.
Totally. Yeah. Know? Let her be.
So this is now from Historic Ipswich. This is a New Hampshire outlet.
I really like the name Ipswich.
You like Ipswich and you like Goody.
Yeah, I do.
Got to check out New Hampshire.
Yeah, I got to get to New Hampshire.
So some said that Goody Cole was able to take the shape of eagles, dogs, and cats, and that she had the aspect of an ape when she went through the mummeries that caused Goody Marston's child to die.
What?
No idea. I assume that it means that she looked like an ape when she killed a kid.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yet while she was in the Ipswich jail, so she's in jail,
mm-hmm.
a likeness of her was, quote, stumping about the graveyard on the day when they buried the child.
Yeah, she projected it out there.
So there was some belief that she killed a kid while looking like an ape, which raises the question, if you saw an ape kill a kid, why'd you think it was that 90-year-old woman down the lane? That's aside from the fact that she's nasty because everyone's a big piece of shit to her and calls her a witch all the time.
And puts her in jail
for it.
Like, all the time.
For summoning a cyclone. It's like, God damn it. Again?
Why?
So, and then when the kid is being buried, not that that's not also horrible.
Yeah.
They say that even though Goody Cole is in jail, a likeness of her,
mm-hmm.
a projection of her image is stumping about the graveyard. About. Now, what does that mean?
That's just a weird word for walking.
I'm going to go out stumping.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out for a stump.
I feel like stumping is associated with like, what am I trying to say?
Like
stumping door to door for a campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So was she stumping like, I'm glad they're dead? Like that kind of stumping?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. For such offenses, including, here are some other things that she did, making bread ferment.
Oh my God.
And here's another crime, giving forth evil odors.
Well, guess what? Lock me up.
Lock me up and throw
Lock
away the key.
Up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I emitted a foul, but I gave forth an evil odor. He
That's
who
so
smelt
funny.
It gave forth the evil odor.
And she making was, bread ferment.
I know. What is that?
Sour bread just, is so good.
So they just wanted to kill this old.
It sounds like they definitely were just looking for anything
like,
to get this old broad on.
I want to kill that old bag.
Yeah.
I want to get her.
Yeah.
She was several times whipped and ducked by the constable.
What is ducked?
That's a great question. I don't know. Stumping and ducked.
Stumping
like,
and ducking.
This is like a different planet, man.
Yeah.
This is like reading about something that happened on Mars.
Yes.
Like,
this is an education.
Not my world.
No.
You know? She was accused of swapping a child with a changeling. This is a classic sort of notion.
Yep.
That a changeling is, like, a kid is stolen and something that looks vaguely like the kid is put back in its place.
Yeah, it's some sort of, like, kind of supernatural creature.
This story is actually really crazy.
Yeah.
So this is all around the Dalton family. So the Dalton
of
child.
B. Dalton?
What?
Do you think B was part of it?
What's B. Dalton? Is it a bookstore?
B. Dalton
store?
Books.
Wow. Yeah. You said that to me like I'm supposed to remember this 30-year-old chain that closed.
I did say I'm 40.
So the Dalton child is said to have been swapped with a changeling and that it was Goody Cole's fault. Lady Dalton said this: "It does not take my milk. It is sucking my blood and wearing me to skin and bone."
Eee.
Which is...
That's awful.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
The Lady Dalton at one point suggested to her husband that they throw the baby into their fireplace. Mm. Because if they did that, the changeling, which she believed it to be a changeling,
right,
would scream.
Reveal
which
itself.
Therefore would summon Goody Cole.
Oh.
Who, remember, is behind bars.
Right.
Maybe they could then, with her there, make her switch their baby back.
Hmm.
Saying, quote, "Goody Cole will fly fast enough when she hears it screaming and will come down chimney in the shape of an owl or a bat and take the thing away. Then we shall have our little one back."
Well, I guess they thought that her projection or whatever was in the cemetery when she was behind bars. So that didn't make her off limits being in jail.
Good point. But instead, Lady Dalton's husband prayed for his wife to at least acknowledge the child as being their own.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't believe that it was swapped with a changeling.
Yeah.
This is obviously, there's something else at play here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it worked.
Oh.
Lady Dalton and Mr. Dalton, she's, I guess, whatever, you know, she was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
She finally acknowledges this is our baby. And so the two of them seek to have Goody Cole released from jail.
Wow.
Which is, not knowing anything about history, that sounds uncommonly...
Yeah.
Good and kind. Like, there's going to be justice for this. Like, she's not a witch. She did not replace our child with a changeling. I was suffering.
Yeah,
as
she might
many
have
people
had,
do. Like
totally.
Yeah.
She might have had really, really tough postpartum.
Yep.
I know that a lot of women don't really connect with their child at first through postpartum, and you can make it through that. So
yes.
She very well may have.
And the common beliefs of the time, you know, hear people talk about changelings today, obviously, but if that was like a commonly, you know,
experienced thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. They just didn't have like the language or understanding of it because everything was seen through this crazy, like your calf dies and you're like, well, it's a witch.
It's a witch. Yeah. So I'm going to at least say that I'm impressed that the Dalton family was like, you know what? Release her.
Yeah.
She is not a witch. She did not do this.
Mm-hmm.
So she is released from jail, dies a month later.
Ouch.
Oof.
That sucks.
But dies free. This Eunice Cole, this Goody Cole.
My God. What a resilient person
to live to 90 and be like,
and to have lived through what I have to assume were like horrific conditions for like bundles of years at a time,
right? Well, you don't know.
Yeah,
she could have been in that jail being like, they found me out again.
I hope so, for her sake.
I think a stumping in the graveyard I shall play. So
stumping in the graveyard.
Her death, of course, does not end really anything. Dark suspicion, quote, hung about the bedlam to the last, and she died as she had lived, alone in her little cabin. Horrible. Even
maybe
after
she likes being alone.
Maybe. Even after her demise, the villagers could with difficulty summon courage to enter her cot and give her burial. Her body was tumbled into a pit hastily dug near her door, and a stake was driven through her heart to exorcise the powers of evil that possessed her in life.
Good God.
It's a nightmare.
Oh, poor Goody Cole.
It's a nightmare. It's like the end of Halloween
Ends.
That's
terrifying. Yes, it is. It's so crazy.
It is. So it's still not done, but we at least are fast forwarding a solid, what did I say? We're fast forwarding like 150 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
250? Whatever. It's 1930.
Uh-huh.
Okay. March 8th, 1938, Ipswich holds the 300th town meeting. And the citizens pass a resolution restoring Eunice Goody Cole to her rightful place as a citizen of, I guess not Ipswich, Hampton.
Okay.
During a public ceremony, certified copies of all her court documents are burned and mixed with soil from her last home and reputed resting place. The urn was to have been buried, but many years later, it was given to the Tuck Museum.
Hmm.
So Goody Cole, justice for Goody Cole finally prevailed.
Yeah, she was exonerated.
Yep. And then...
Holy crap.
Exalted to the highest place of importance because in 2013, some sort of a rock opera album was produced that Dee Snider contributed to.
Ah, very good.
So
that was about Goody Cole?
I guess, like, at least in part. Uh-huh. Or something. I don't know. Once went to the same ice cream place as Dee Snider.
William.
Don't want to brag.
Look at you.
But I did.
Was there a picture of him on the wall, like, eating an ice cream?
Like, smile. Yeah, yeah, there was.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I figured.
Smiling, having some Chunky Monkey.
Like when you go to the dry cleaner.
And I'd visit, kiss that portrait, and be like, I can't believe I'm eating the same cream as Dee.
Can you believe it?
The Dee Snider.
I saw him the other day because I watched what's it called, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, and I always forget he's in there.
Yeah, hell yeah,
speak
he is.
No evil, don't you see? No evil.
Yeah.
He's on like the movie lot when Pee Wee's running through shooting a music video.
Yeah, he's like riding the hood of a car.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. All right, so I am going to tell you about another woman in history who scary things have happened around.
No.
Believe it or not.
Scary things?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
You know, that just reminded me of this. Drives me crazy. My car is constantly playing commercials for Sirius XM because yeah. I, like, don't have it, so it just plays it all the time. There's this guy goes, amazing things happen so much at Sirius XM.
Amazing things happen so much.
It's so funny.
It's terrible.
I know. But anyway, before we move on over to her, I want to make sure that everybody knows about patreon.com/GTTUpod. This is where you can go to support the show, which is huge, huge, huge for us. Thank you so much to everybody who does this already. And if you're interested, go check it out. We have a number of different tiers. Our top tier is the Demon tier, where you get every single episode of our second weekly podcast, The Netherworld Dispatch. It comes out every Monday. We're also talking about spooky, weird stuff.
Always.
It's a little bit more free form where we're looking things up in real time sometimes. It's really, really fun. So go check out patreon.com/GTTUpod. There are other tiers that might fit you better. And also you get access to our Discord, which is full of awesome people when you join us at any tier. So thank you so much.
Hell yeah. I've got a good example of some of the weird shows that we can do only on our Netherworld Dispatch.
Yeah.
The most recent episode is titled Amber the Detective,
an
AI nightmare. We took a look at Mark Zuckerberg announced that there are going to be about 1,000 AIs that have different specialties.
Yeah.
So you can talk to Tom Brady's AI if you want to talk about sports, but it's more confusing than that. Because you're not talking to Tom Brady, you're talking to a character played by the face of Tom Brady, who's named Brew.
Right.
And so along those lines, there's a detective AI named Amber, played by Paris Hilton.
It's very confusing.
And it's available now.
Oh, yeah.
So Kristen and I talked to this AI, which is purporting to say, like, help me solve a mystery. But the mystery itself is nebulous.
Yeah.
And it requires you to basically decide,
like, provide most of the details.
Yeah, you're like not solving a crime. You're like,
you're making it up.
You're making up the crime with an AI. It's very hard to explain, but
it's like a fiction improv experiment,
yeah,
with,
yeah,
a chat that has Paris Hilton's face.
Yes, it is so stupid and,
yeah,
terrible, and
really
I am so proud of how funny and dumb our conversation was with this robot.
Yeah.
Where at one point, you know, we're telling her that she's fired, and she's like, you can't fire me. I'm the head of this team. And, like, getting, like, angry with us and stuff. Oh,
Will also
great.
Asked her to inspect the dog of the family's stool, and she did so.
Yes.
Guess what? She didn't find anything.
I said, did you find anything in the dog's stool? And Amber the detective goes, no, and we won't be looking again. Which implies that she did.
That she did.
I know how juvenile that is, but trust me, it's so funny.
Yeah, we loved it.
It's so stupid. Come have fun with us, patreon.com/GTTUpod. And I've also got a new review for us here from Wissigale, who says, it honestly took me 10 whole stupid minutes to figure out how to write this review. So
thank you for spending those 10 minutes. It's really nice.
But I did it.
Did it, Wissigale.
My daughter and I love listening together, and it is even the agreed upon go-to for husband and youngest during longer car rides.
Aww.
These guys are fantastic and funny as butts.
Yeah.
Even gave it as a recommendation to my therapist. You guys are doing great. Keep on trucking on.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
5 stars. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's so weird for me to imagine people like on a car ride listening to. I love that.
It's lovely.
It really is. So thank you so much. We are trying to get to 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts specifically, just because we're closer to 1,000 there. Yep. But reviews wherever you listen to the podcast are super, super helpful. Probably just like you, if you happen to be looking at a new podcast, you zoom to the reviews and see what people are saying.
Absolutely.
And or you see how many it has and you're like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. And so it really would be great if you took the time. And thank you so much to everybody who already has, who has taken the 10 minutes where they couldn't figure out how the hell to do it. By the way, I stand with you.
Yeah, I know. It's tricky.
Yeah.
I will also say people are getting their year end like Spotify wrapped things right now. I never push the Spotify, but we've seen tremendous growth of our Spotify listenership, and we've got 4.9 stars out of 5
nice.
As well. So if you're a Spotify listener, give us a review over there. I'd love to see it. I don't think they let you type anything, but we would greatly appreciate that. It's just 1 through 5 stars.
Yep.
And thank you. Thank you so much for sending us our position on your Wrapped year-end thing. It's really cool.
I love to hear that. It's just very cool. Thank you very much. Okay, William. So now we're on to Clara Crane.
Great.
Okay. I believe you covered this.
Oh, okay.
But I think I found more stuff about it. I could not find the episode where you covered it. I think it's part of our first batch of episodes. And she also goes by the Candy Lady or the Candy Woman. Does that ring a bell?
Yes. Okay. Yes, this does ring a bell.
I couldn't find the episode. I looked, I did some searching. I think you covered it, but there was more to it than I remember.
Okay, great.
So I figured that we would go into it. So there's part of it that does seem to be confirmed as true, and then part of it that is not. The Candy Lady aspect of it, where that becomes the urban legend, there's no proof of that.
And if I recall, I think it was like she left candy on your windowsill.
Yes.
To lure you out bit by bit.
Weirdly,
something like that.
It is something like that. I'll get to that. But so here's the origin, and this part seems to be confirmed as true.
Okay.
So in the late 1800s, Clara married an older man named Leonard, and they had a daughter named Marcella. Marcella died young in an accident out on their farm. And when Clara found out that Leonard, who was supposed to be, you know, with her that day doing whatever, had been drinking at the time and not watching her properly, she was understandably super distraught. So not only has she lost her daughter, but her husband maybe has some responsibility there.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking. So one day after that happened down the line, her neighbors called the police to check on her out of concern because they saw her out and about and she seemed frenzied and unwell. And they were basically, I think, essentially being like, can you do a welfare check?
Yeah.
I guess. Mm-hmm. When the police arrived, she was really aggressive, like didn't want them to be there, didn't want to go to the police station with them to talk more and see what's going on. But eventually she relented. And so she left the house with a police officer. Another police officer who stayed behind decided to take a look through the house, maybe based on her behavior or something. And when they did, they found the body of Leonard, deceased in the home.
Okay.
It turns out that Clara blamed Leonard for Marcella's death and took revenge.
Yeah.
And the way that she did this was that he loved caramel candies.
Aha.
So she made him a poisoned batch.
Yeah.
And he died from that poisoning. So she was tried and convicted of first-degree murder and sent to a mental hospital, but she was released due to overcrowding after only a few years and came out.
That's what happened to Norman Bates.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Came out and went home. So now this is what might not be true and is just kind of like urban legend.
Well, because she made candy that killed somebody, so obviously she's going to do that all the time. Never mind that she had a relatively focused motive.
Yeah, totally.
She's just going to make candy and give it to all the kids.
Candy is just her thing.
Let's ostracize her for the rest of her life.
I know. And that's exactly what happened. So it wasn't very long after that that the residents of Terrell, Texas, said that children started to go missing on or around her property. And the legend around this says, and this is what totally rang a bell from what you covered, I think. In a way, I found this specific detail in multiple places, and I still don't totally understand it, that children found candy wrappers on their windowsills signed by the candy lady.
That's very weird and
what?
Unlikely.
Not that even seems candy very unlikely. Itself?
Yeah, that's very strange.
Candy wrapper signed by the candy lady?
What, to what end?
It would make so much more sense as an urban... And like I said, it's not just one source that I read this in and I was like, oh, they got it wrong. It was multiple places. It makes so much more sense as an urban legend if she was leaving them poisoned candy.
The candy, not the wrapper.
No.
And why signed?
And signed as the candy lady.
This sounds like one kid did this to another kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
I'm going to leave him poison candy, right?
Right.
I'm going to leave him candy and he's going to think it's from the candy lady.
So I'll sign it from the candy lady. I'm feeling a little peckish.
I'm feeling a little peckish. Ooh, I'll eat the candy, but then the prank is ruined. But not if I write the candy lady on the wrapper. That's like little kid brain logic.
Yes.
You know, or just made up wholesale. But
no, I think you're right, because to make this up wholesale is so stupid. It would just be poisoned candy.
Yeah.
Signing something the candy lady write is a little kid brain that hasn't developed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think I want that toffee num num. You know, and then they
so
sign the wrapper.
So sweet for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's so baffling.
I know. And again, this part too, everything's unconfirmed. The local sheriff disappeared and was later found dead in a ditch, fork stabbed through his eyes and his pockets full of yummy candy.
Wait a minute.
So now she's just leaving candy as her calling card?
In his pockets?
Yeah.
Fills off. Now I know what I'll do. I'll fill your pockets.
With
the whole
candy.
Thing was that she poisoned people with candy.
Right.
And now she's going to finally kill somebody, but she's going to do it by jabbing
she's
forks.
She's going to put a bunch of peppermint swirls in his pockets and jab forks in his eyes. I guess because forks are also food related.
But not candy related.
No.
Unless you're Mr. Pitt eating that Snickers with a fork and knife.
Absolutely. Or if you eat like a red vine with a fork and twirl it around like spaghetti.
Ooh. Or scooping up M&Ms off a plate with a fork. Like so much pee. Only the green ones.
That's so funny.
That's weird. This is a Cropsey. This is a Cropsey kind of thing. This is a Cropsey legend.
You
know what I mean? Like Cropsey, the whole thing with him.
Yeah.
Was like, we're pretty sure he did it, but we don't have hard proof.
Right.
And also, isn't there potentially a level of this where it's like, he's creepy.
Yeah.
He does conventionally creepy stuff. Therefore.
Yeah. He must be.
He must have done it.
A bad guy.
It's like she suffered horribly.
Right.
Did she kill her husband? Sure seems like that's a cut and dry
she
thing.
Definitely,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, what? She's going to kill everyone with
right,
candy?
With candy
now?
Forever?
Or forks or wrappers that she puts her autograph
signed?
On? It's very weird.
I know. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Also, a local farmer said he found a small set of rotten teeth on his property. So small they could only belong to a child. Is the rotten thing here supposed to speak to the kid eating a lot of candy?
Yeah.
It's from like the candy lady?
It's like he was eating a dum-dum.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Rotted your teeth.
Yeah, that's very weird.
It's nuts.
It all sounds pretty flimsy to me.
I agree. So that is the story of Clara Crane, Candy Cane.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to do my last one. It's very short.
Okay.
And then we can just take it away from there. This is the story of the clown doll.
Yes.
And I partially wanted to get to it because we record the show on video, too. Mm-hmm. It's on youtube.com/GTTUpod every week. We record it live. And Will has a really cool screen set up behind us that has a clown doll on it. And I just wanted to jump in here so I can tell the story.
I had to put something
away.
On the screen. And the only thing I remembered was that you were going to talk about clowns.
No, it makes total sense. I just don't want to miss telling it. It's very short. So the clown doll is a twist on the Babysitter and the Man Upstairs story.
Yeah, this is a proper urban legend.
I don't remember hearing.
You don't know this one?
No.
Oh, I
didn't
one.
Until now.
Yeah.
This is wild.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So the story here is that the babysitter gets the kids to bed and then heads to the living room to watch TV. Now, normally in the Babysitter and the Man Upstairs story, which we have covered on the show and referenced, it's that the calls are coming from inside the house thing where there's a man upstairs calling and, you know, freaking around. And she doesn't realize that he's on the premises. So here she goes to watch TV, but she is distracted and freaked out by the clown doll in the corner of the room. She starts to get so freaked out that she calls the parents of the kids that she's babysitting, I guess to ask them to come home because she's so scared of the clown doll. And they tell her they don't have a clown doll. So it's the same beat as We track the call. It's coming from inside the house.
Same, yes, rhythmically, it's 100% the same.
Yep.
But now the idea is that there's like a madman dressed like a clown inside the house who's just been sitting there watching her. I think that's great. I think it's fun.
Great. It is great.
The clown thing, clowns being just like an obvious horror thing is whatever. But I do like the idea of like, the point is not the clown. The point is somehow this man was sort of camouflaged.
Yeah.
In a way that made her feel roughly safe, mm-hmm. except it's still looking at me.
Yeah.
Also, the reason she called him in some versions that I've heard is her being like, is it okay if I move the clown statue?
Oh, okay.
Like, can I just like turn it around or something? Is it fragile?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that's when they're like,
what clown
why don't you
statue?
Go run to the neighbor's house?
Yeah.
Why don't you go check on the kids and go for a walk? How about you go wake up the toddler and
take it with you?
Yeah. We don't have a clown statue.
No. So what it is varies a little bit story to story, like everything. But it seems like a very popular one is that he is an escaped serial killer from a mental hospital.
Of course.
That can be there. Yeah. It could also be the ghost of a clown that died in the house.
Okay.
Or a homeless person with dwarfism who somehow got into the house and has been living there in secret for weeks.
Frogging.
I have been talking about frogging a lot because there's a show on Lifetime Television for Women. I don't know if it's called that anymore, but Lifetime, called Frogging Hider in the House, that I blew through about people like living in your crawl space.
Yeah.
And it's that's been on the bean.
Let's do frogging soon. You want to do frogging like next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's do frogging. Yeah.
Okay. So the story is
I'm going to live in someone's house between now and next time we record.
So you're doing real like
let you know
boots
how
on
do.
The ground research.
Allie just wakes up in the morning. He's like, Will?
William?
And then she just hears like,
it's you in one of your little closets.
Lying on the floor. Yeah, exactly.
The idea is that in this scenario, the house is so big that he's able to find nooks and crannies to hide in, all while eating their food and going to the kids' rooms at night to watch them sleep.
Oh.
He had been in the TV room as the babysitter put the kids to bed upstairs, just like enjoying himself or something, and didn't have time to hide when she came in, so he just posed as a doll in the corner.
This is a lot of explanation.
So this was in the villains wiki. And by the way,
I love the villains wiki, man. Man, they go too far.
It's excellent. By the way, you know how I read like a whole long thing? I was like, and this is a quote about Sandcastle
Symphony of the Night.
It's because I had in my head, there's something I want to read word for word here. And I had just copied that because it's just so factual.
Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to read that word for word. I was just supposed to tell you, this is what I wanted to say. At the end of this villain's wiki, it says, in either example, even though they gave many, he can be considered an antagonistic and dangerous enemy. That's really funny.
A dangerous enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. The monsters wiki. Is that the same one where they list like strengths and weaknesses?
It's like,
strength is clown.
I think
strength is in corner. Weakness is clown.
I've gotten so used to ignoring that sidebar on the right. I'm not sure, but I think it does.
I think it does. Oh, it's so good.
I know.
I love that. All right. If you'll permit me, I do want to read one more because it's
no. Take us on home. We have time.
Is that okay? Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite kinds of thing, and I just love the name of this.
Yeah.
If you had to guess, what do you think a corpse light is?
Is it kind of like a will-o'-the-wisp?
It's exactly like a will-o'-the-wisp.
Okay, great.
With a baffling, baffling, baffling twist.
Huh.
And I just love the name. A corpse light.
I do, too. So I wonder if I dislike anything before light.
I know.
I bet I kind of do.
I know.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's great.
Yeah.
From encyclopedia.com, which is weird. Not just
you
Wikipedia. I know it's official.
Yeah.
Phosphorescent lights often seen over marshes or in churchyards, which... This goes way back to, I believe, episode 3 of Guide to the Unknown.
Yeah.
Almost 6 years ago, exactly.
Yes.
I talked about will-o'-the-wisps. And essentially the whole notion was like, people literally were seeing some light off in the distance.
Right.
And then if they go trying to find the source of the light, is it a person out there? What is that thing?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people end up drowning in a bog. Because what a will-o'-the-wisp is, it's gas expelled from like a marsh or a bog of like decaying plant matter, igniting in the air. So a little brief burst of light. It's a real phenomenon that a lot of people contextualized as some sort of, this is like even less of an urban legend and more about classic folklore. They're like, this is some sort of a pixie fairy thing out there. And will-o'-the-wisp meant the will, the want,
right,
right? Like if you have a will to live, you have a want to live.
There's a will, there's a way.
The will of the wisp.
Yeah.
The want of the flame to mm-hmm. trick you.
Yes.
Into dying in a bog. So what Encyclopedia is saying is that a corpse light is a phosphorescent light, often seen over marshes or in churchyards. That alone means that a corpse light is a will-o'-the-wisp to yes. me.
Oh, yeah.
Except no source that I found says that. Here's what they do say instead.
Huh.
Corpse lights are also known by a million other names, which are also like equally great.
Does a corpse light by any other name still smell as sweet?
Like a puff of bog gas.
When I worked in an office that had basically a bog outside of it, even though it was a nice office building, when I had to stay there really late at night, sometimes so like 11 o'clock at night, I would be looking sometimes like, can I see, is there going to be a will-o'-the-wisp or anything?
Oh, really? I thought it was like, oh, it smells like a rank and stankin' ass bog out there.
Ugh. No, it was, you know, an office building with, you couldn't yeah. smell anything, but you could see it. And so I was always like, ooh.
Oh, that'd be so cool. I would love to see it. I love the idea of a will-o'-the-wisp.
I know. I've never seen one.
So they're also, corpse lights are also known as fetch lights. Jack-o'-lanterns.
Okay.
Kind of neat.
Yeah.
And dead man's candles.
Ooh.
That's cool too, because that like evokes that. A whole ghost that's traveling by candle out
I
there.
I love that.
On the moors.
Yeah, there was something that I covered. It's so vague. I'm sorry to be annoying. There was something that I covered at some point not that long ago where it was like basically a will-o'-the-wisp, but there was some sort of phenomenon going on in this place where it would be a bunch of them kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
And people kind of imagined or created an urban legend that it was like a bunch of little beings carrying lanterns.
Yeah. Oh, I love that idea. Mm-hmm. It's very classical. It's very like of like Victorian era or
yes.
something to me. It's also part of a phenomenon known as the ignis fatuus, which I think is like ignite.
I've been called a fatuus before.
The corpse lights are believed to be some sort of an omen of death. The size of the corpse light is said to indicate the age of the victim. A small corpse light was probably a child. A larger one is probably an adult. Now here's something from pantheon.com. The corpse lights can appear as white, red, or blue lights that hover over the roof of the doomed. So this gets away from the notion of bog gas, that you'll literally just see fire
right.
denoting like someone in this house is going to die.
Yeah.
They may also appear indoors, hovering above the chest of the person due to die,
ooh.
Which is also cool.
Yeah.
Occult-world.com has even more names. Corpse candles, corposants, and fetch candles. And so here's where I start getting into what I really don't have a great answer for. None of those sources, and I just cited how many sources? 4 different sources.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them says that a corpse light is also called a will-o'-the-wisp.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Not one. And on the will-o'-the-wisp entries, they never call them corpse lights.
That's surprising. It seems like a one-to-one, pretty much.
But they...
Well, not exactly, but as far as when they're in a swamp or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yet, will-o'-the-wisps are referred to as ignis fatuus.
Hmm.
So it's like a dog
so
and a
close.
Wolf,
yeah.
right? They're both canines.
Right.
But they're not the same animal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they're cousins.
Huh.
They're part of the same genus or something.
I love them.
That's so strange.
It is strange. It seems, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So there is, according to the original entry on Wikipedia for corpse lights, they summarize the idea of a corpse light thusly. The corpse light is an urban legend that describes a symbol of false comfort, a phantom light located in Cape Henlopen State Park, which is very specific.
Yes.
So I checked, and I'm not sure what the deal is. This is a short fiction story.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The Wikipedia entry directly links to something from MysteryTribune.com.
Hmm.
A short story titled Tragedy Near the Corpse Light or Because of It, which was written by Bob Fejewski.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, note, people and incidents cited in this story are purely fictional. Any resemblance to actual people or incidents is strictly coincidental.
Huh.
So like the source for Wikipedia's entry on corpse lights
is a fictional story.
Is a fictional story.
Huh, peculiar.
That's strange.
Yeah.
And yet, corpse lights do appear to be part of the same actual verified real life phenomenon.
Right.
Of will-o'-the-wisps.
I guess it's just not a Wikipedia that gets a ton of play.
So what's going on?
Right? I guess not. Think of it that off. Maybe the person who wrote that story put it onto the Wikipedia.
Exactly.
For
right. Like they've got the they've got like the patent,
the monopoly
on corpse lights stuff.
Corpse lights, yeah.
But I love it. The fact of the matter is, I was a fan of the Will of the Wisp when we first covered it a million years ago. I love the idea of something that is like essentially like verified as a real phenomenon that has been contextualized through horror,
right,
for people to make sense of it.
Yeah.
It's, what was that fire over there? Well, I bet
it must be,
it
this
must be something luring you.
Yeah,
that's the only reason why people would be dying going after it.
Boy, what a crazy time to just kind of, but you know, I bet it didn't feel crazy to them.
No, not at all.
You know what I mean? Like they're just trying to reach for whatever they know. And I guess that religion maybe was so much more prominent and prevalent, like in people's lives,
and hard scientific truths
less
reported, right.
So like in religion, and I would imagine a lot of it is like derivative Christianity, is like very supernatural. So then if that's your context for a lot of things in just day-to-day life, that's also gonna be your context for these mysteries.
Yep, it's totally true. It's totally true. So
it's
corpse
so cool.
lights.
Yeah.
The corpse lights are out there, everybody.
Yeah.
And they're related to the Will-O-The-Wisp.
I love that.
But they're not the same.
Interesting. They're cuzzies.
Cuzzos. Well, there you go, everybody.
Yes.
I think that's
going to
conclude our dissection of urban legends this time. But you know, we'll be back.
We'll be back. There are more seas to go through.
Can't stay away.
Mm-mm.
I didn't even get to all of mine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I still have more.
Beautiful. Well, copy paste them.
You betcha.
Put
you
them
betcha.
In our unused file.
I refuse to lose them. They're too cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too goddamn cool.
Cool.
Well, thank you everybody for hanging out with us.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you send even your belated happy birthdays old Chrissy's way.
Thank you so much. You can
happy,
find me at
birthday.
Goody Anderson.
Yeah, of course. At Chillin' Kristen in all likelihood.
Now.
In all likelihood.
Do you think Goody Anderson is taken?
I doubt it.
I doubt it too.
I don't think anybody knows Goody. Right? Today?
I don't know.
It is kind of cool.
I really might change it.
Yeah?
What the hell?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's to stop you?
That's exactly right.
All right.
All right, everybody. We will see you soon. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. You can go to patreon.com/GTTUpod, like we said. Get our second podcast.
It's so much fun.
I'm telling you,
we have so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
People seem to enjoy it.
People seem to really like it, which I love.
Oh, and you know what? Here's a thing that we underreport in a way.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to gttupod.com, right? Where does this live? Is it on our Patreon?
What do you think?
We started our own Cameo thing.
Oh, yes. It's
and
on Patreon.
As we get into some of like the end of
the year,
holiday stuff, Christmas, whatever holidays, or even just celebrations, birthdays, whatever. You can book basically a cameo from us, and you don't need to be a patron to do it.
And you know what? I saw that some of my favorite podcasters started doing this exact same thing.
Really? Bitch
Sesh.
Who needs
now has like
that's funny.
A bespoke thing on their website.
That's very funny. We're ahead of the game. You don't need Cameo to achieve this.
No.
So go check it out. Patreon.com/GTTUpod. I believe there's a shop tab.
Yeah.
Get a cameo from us. That might be kind of fun to do. We call it a jump scare.
We would love to see you.
For copyright purposes and because it's kind of neat. Let us jump scare you.
I love that name. I think it's so good. William came up with that.
I think it's fun. If I had more wherewithal or knowledge of what to do with that, I feel like that could be a thing.
What? Oh, jump scare? Yeah, starting
that
like
that could
your
be
own.
A challenger to Cameo, specifically horror-themed cameos.
Totally.
Jump scare.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a great name.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time at GTTUpod, at Chillin' Kristen.
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
At Will Rogers. No.
What are you trying to think of?
No, that's old. At The Myth Traveler. That's who I am.
That's who you are.
We'll see
all
you next week.
All these social media names. My friend Kitty, who I love, reminded me that my original social media name was Chrissy Pajamas.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I let it go.
I know, you blew it.
Yeah.
So don't change it back to that. Come up with Goody Anderson.
I don't think I can. I think I tried at one point.
Did somebody take it?
Yeah, or like it was locked or something.
Oh, strange.
Maybe I can now.
Maybe.
Whatever.
Who the hell knows?
I'm coming out a whole new door for 40.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Yes.
But until that time comes, we must travel.
Back to the netherworld. Go we. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know how it was, I turned 37, so it was my Snoogan's birthday.
Yeah.
What is your 40th birthday in pop culture conversation?
I think it's honestly like you're over the hill.
That's it?
I think. I feel like...
The bucket list with Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman?
Remember when Rachel had a birthday on Friends that she was like so depressed by? She was turning 30.
30. I know. Joey was like inconsolable.
Yes.
Didn't you just want to reach through the screen and give him a hug?
I did.
Say, buck up, little guy.
I love Joey.
We're older than the Friends.
Oh, yeah. Significantly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.